Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another segment of We'll See About That. And our last podcast of last week was about my experience in the Lahaina fires. And my good friend here, Mike, has some numbers of which might be very helpful to those people on Maui.
Absolutely, folks. You can donate at theredcross.org. That's redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 800-733-2767. That's 800-733-2767. Or text the word Red Cross to 90999. That's 90999 to make a $10 donation.
Very good, and thank you. And looks like we have a new Little League World Series champion, and just so happens to be from the state of California, in El Segundo. Congratulations to all those young kids down there, and a special hero's welcome to that kid that had an unbelievable walk-off home run, Luis Lapia.
Yeah, Luis Lapia. Can you imagine that?
I can't.
12 years old, yeah. Nationally televised, winning the whole thing, bringing that trophy back to Los Angeles, yeah. And just the joy that all those kids had was just amazing to watch.
Yeah, this is etched in their memory for the rest of their lives, but the one thing that surprised me a little bit was these kids continue to get bigger. You know, I think he was 6'1", wasn't he, or something like that?
Yeah, he did not look 12.
And there were other kids on the other teams, too. But there were some guys who were like 5'2 and maybe 90 pounds. But the Little League World Series is just a such a great event. Such a beautiful little field there. And so congratulations to El Segundo. Wear that champion's crown well. And the Seattle Mariners seem to be creeping into the playoff outlook. They have been the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break, from the Northwest. So I have a deep following with them, and I'm very pleased that they were able to make a good showing in last year's playoffs. But this one here is a little different. They seem to be seasoned a little bit more, and of course you have the Rangers, who had such a great first half, and the Astros, who are always going to be in that mix, and the Tampa Bay Rays. One of those teams in that American League West is going to get left out of the playoffs, and I certainly don't know. I hope it's not the Mariners. Yeah,
they've it's so interesting too. I mean, we have the Baltimore Orioles and the Mariners. Yes. Not really favored to be that competitive in the preseason, but it's interesting how the season shakes out.
Well, it sure has, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in New York are not real happy with the Mets or the Yankees for sure. I don't know what's going to happen in that mess, but you know, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Padres are in that same mix. Yeah, we're going to be back with our special guest Bobby Dernier right after this.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com.
Fred Dreyer here. When you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. And every disease known to man can attack you. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body to bring your immune system back online. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
They still call me the Penguin.
And we are back. We'll see about that. And I have the pleasure of having a very special guest, a good friend and a teammate of mine and with the Chicago Cubs, our catalyst, our leadoff guy, our base stealer, Bobby Dernier. Bobby, welcome to our show. Great to have you. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to join in. And I'm glad you're back from Maui. That was just horrible watching from afar. And anyway, I'm just happy you're back and safe.
Yeah, well, the bad part was the fact that we were out without communication power for 3 days, and the mother of my grandkids, had no contact with us. So that was a harrowing experience, I'm sure, for her. But it all turned out well. We all got back, and so we're going to move on. But please do heed to those announcements that Mike made about helping those people in Maui. Bobby, grew up in Kansas City. You went to community college. You majored in journalism. Is that correct? Where did that come from?
Well, I was on the way to majoring in journalism, you could say. I spent 2 years in college, and then I was one of those guys, I wasn't supposed to. I wasn't drafted. I was drafted by the Reds in the winter draft back then. Yeah. They had in January, in 77, January. But I got through the June draft that summer, not undrafted. And then a Philly scout named Bill Kelso followed me around that summer. He was looking at a couple of pitchers and then caught an eye on me. And so he offered me a rather minuscule contract in August prior to my junior year. And I made a financially unsound decision to go ahead and sign with the Phillies.
Okay.
But my dream at that time was I just wanted to play, and I figured I may not get another chance, and so I took a spin of the wheel.
So when did you have this feeling about, baseball being the focus of your future?
Yeah, and I think we talked before a little bit about this, but back in the 70s, I was a 75 high school graduate, so, and growing up here in KC, you see me sporting the Chiefs logo.
Of course.
We're kind of happy with them.
Yeah.
But back then, the Royals were a relatively new franchise. We had the A's, the old Kansas City A's before that. So growing up, my childhood idol was Campy Campanaris. And I played shortstop, and I was always one of the smaller, faster guys on the team. So I related to Campy. And then moving on into the college years, and of course, I caught a good eye watching, you guys, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Royals and Yankees were tangling back then. And you know, back then you only got like the game of the week and the World Series and playoffs and on television primarily. So I was highly aware of that era, which certainly you were a big part of. And I told my wife, who Stacy grew up in New York. So although she was still relatively young back then in the 70s, I caught a viewing of that, that I think it was ESPN did or somebody, they called the Uncivil War, which was a chronicle of you guys and the Yankees during those years. So when I reflected back, you know, I often thought the impression on me, and then of course eventually signing with the Phillies and then coming up with them in 1980 when they ran into the Royals and beat them. And it all tied in well for me in my little baseball dream come true. I was right in the middle of what I had been watching and, you know, in those college years. So it was really a real blessing and to have landed with some of the great teammates that we shared and the era, the guys we got to play against, it was just priceless.
It was. And, you know, you spent 3 years now in the minor leagues where you had over 70 stolen bases. I don't remember anybody that I played with or against that would have stolen 70 bases and would have still been in the minor leagues. Were they paying attention to base stealing back then? Was Dallas part of the recruiting or the program at that point in time?
Well, Dallas was the farm director.
Yeah.
So I had Dallas as a minor league farm director in my minor league years, and Rhino was right there along with me. We were playing A, AA, and AAA minor league baseball together. So and then in 1980, when I got called up, Dallas, of course, was the manager in Philly.
Yeah.
And then in the end, you know, he was the GM over in Chicago when I was traded over with Gary Matthews to the Cubs. And so I had Dallas really at every level of his baseball progression, you know, with the exception of his playing days. So he was a bit of a godfather for me in that regard. And for several of us, including Moreland and Boa and, you know, of course, you know, five of us were over there in the starting lineup in Chicago that had came from Philly in recent years. On that 84 team. So, you know, it was a bit of a, it was a bit of a crowded opportunity to get to be in a starting lineup in Philadelphia during those years, as you might imagine, as it was in L.A. when you were there.
Yeah. Well, you're right. We had the entire outfield, 84 outfield was Phillies. And we had the middle of the infield with Boa and Sandberg. And Leon and I were on the corners and Jody Davis behind the plate. And that was a really good team. And, Dallas, one of the reasons why he was able to get me to come to Chicago was I had a relationship with him. And he promised me things that he would do. And he lived up to them, which gave him even greater respect for me. And the fact that he was going to build this club and the idea that, you know, he confronted me about, you know, Sutcliffe and Lopes about possibly being on that team. He wanted my word on it. And bringing Eckersley in, too, was a big help. And, of course, you had Smitty, who was just starting to be one of the greatest closers in the game, and our bullpen was strong. So it was it was a lot of fun, and plus when you got there, you were working your magic with Rhino. You won two in the lineup, and it was Harry Carey who started calling you guys the Daily Double. That was a fun time.
It was, and you know I guess that maybe it was because of that era. You know, it was a lot of it was about trust and. Because Dallas was, you know, as a minor league farm director guy back then, you know, as a minor league player, 150 guys in a minor league camp, and Dallas Green walked in the room, but it didn't, you know, I mean, you knew he was there, and it didn't change when he became the manager or even the GM. He always had a presence that you could count on him for two things. You know, he wasn't afraid to put his, you know, his hand on your back and kind of pull you in and give you that hug, hey, nice job. But he was also equally capable of taking that size 13 boot and putting it on your other side if he needed to. You kind of knew that respect was there, vice versa. You could count on him for the truth. And I remember he said to me one little funny note, and this was in Chicago, but he came to me, and he, full disclosure, you know, I grew up and played high school ball against Sutcliffe.
Right.
He likes to say that I'm the reason, or he's the reason, facing him in high school, that I ended up in junior college. And he, okay. He ended up as the number one pick for the Dodgers. But the thing about Dallas, he came up to me once and he told me, he says, "Hey, Bob," he says, let me give you some a heads up here. He said, "I'm going to tell you one thing not to do, and that's go drinking with the pitchers, okay? These starting pitchers have days off and you don't."
Yeah.
So, you know, he had a way of kind of like, wonder why he told me that, you know, and then I think about it. You know, we kind of traveled as a pack back then. We, you know, if we were out and about, we were usually six or eight of us.
Right.
You know, that was just kind of how we rolled and kind of looked after each other. So I guess his message was, you know, being an everyday player, if you expect to survive in this game, you better understand there's certain boundaries. And he wasn't afraid to, you know, communicate them.
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember one meeting when we first got there, he made it sure that he said, "You guys make sure that you're not on Rush Street after the game. You stay away from Rush Street. I don't want to hear anybody about getting in trouble on Rush Street." And as far as Dallas, you know, there was a time where I went in and saw him, and it was the time that he had that boot ready to go. And I said, "Dallas," I said, "you know, do you suppose you can kind of channel that energy a little bit different? Because, you know, you're putting names in the paper, and I got to live with those guys, and that hurts." And he says, "Yeah," he says, "I know." He says, "Sometimes I bear down on them," but he says, "I'm paying them a lot of money to play this game well." So he did it his way, and it worked. And we're going to be right back with another segment with Bobby Vernier right after this.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. Okay, we are back now with another segment with the starting center fielder for the 1984 Chicago Cubs, Bobby Dernier. And Bobby, we talked about your experiences in the game, your coaching experiences, and how it plays out today. Tell us how that affected you and what it's done for your life.
Well, coaching, you know, I from the time I was 18 and coming out of high school, I always kind of I had a thing for coaching. I had great coaches growing up, dads, you know, and coaches in high school and so on. So I always had I always knew that I would coach. And even back then, I'd come home from minor league seasons and I would coach in the fall, a couple of falls. I coached little league football. I had a particular passion for football growing up. So I always knew I would end up coaching. In the end, professionally, I didn't get really fully back into coaching until I did a couple of years in the late 90s with Texas. Johnny Oates was a manager over there then, and he encouraged me. He said, you know, you need to be back in the game and you'd be a valuable coach. So I kind of got the fire lit then. My kids graduated high school in the late 90s, and then in the early 2000s, I reconnected fully with the Cubs in that regard, started going to camp. And then in a couple of short years, I was going at it full time. And Sandberg was along in that. And at that time, he was along with Jody Davis. We kind of all landed at the same time period back in the minor leagues, coaching and managing. And so that was my real passion. I felt like I had to have a stake in it. You know, I just didn't want to go coach for any team. Felt like the Cubs were, you know, they were still looking for that world championship that we kind of left them at the altar back in 84. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, coming back coaching, maybe I can have a hand in that effort. And so, you know, I did that for about 8 years. And I think it just gave me a real full circle, if you will, in that regard. I did some media too. As you know, I was out there in 2016 and you so graciously took care of me and saw to it that I didn't have to eat the press room hot dogs. I got to go down to the little better food that the stadium club offered. And that was quite a journey that month of October in 2016, you know, to get to go along with the Cubs and in a media role and see the whole thing happen. And a big part of it was that series out there against the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, I remember, it's always a different look when you get on the other side. When you get inside the office side of it, it takes on a different complexion. But I do remember visiting you in Florida. I think I came over to the Rangers camp one spring and hung out a little bit. But did you have in your coaching experience, did you have a favorite player that you were kind of rooting for and pulling for? Guy who worked really hard or just kind of, you know, caught your fancy?
I had a lot of them. I mean, it was and I still stay in touch with a few of the guys. I don't bother them. I kind of look at
Understood.
It like the player-to-player thing, you know. But I'll touch base every now and then. Some of them are still playing. DJ LeMahieu is certainly an honorable mention there with the Yankees. He's still out there. Darwin Barney was one of my favorite kids. He had quite an amateur career growing up. Won a couple of Little League World Championships, or one, I think, and then a couple of College World Championships at Oregon State. His dad coached him. He was a fun kid to coach. And Sam Fold is another one of my favorites. I just saw him in Philadelphia. He's now the general manager for the Phillies. Kid out of Stanford, and what a wonderful young man. So I had a lot of them. You know, they were very receptive, I think, to my style of coaching. I was a little looser. I rubbed some of the older coaches a little bit wrong at times with my style of coaching. I would bring music out for base running drills and stuff to keep them, you know, in rhythm, if you will. And I tried to remind them that base running, you have to have a little bit of dancer in you. You know, you have to be feet to eye coordinated, and your reaction ability, you know, to what you see is going to dictate a lot, you know, in regard to your base running. So I brought a little different coaching method. You know, base running is kind of boring, and, you know, in a spring training sense, as you remember, I try to bring a little bit of fun to coaching that was maybe lacking at the time. And I think it was well received from the players. But I wasn't afraid to, you know, to give them the message they needed to hear too. It wasn't always, it wasn't always in kind terms. Sometimes you had to tell a youngster, you know, just how it is. And if you don't get busy and get to work here, then, you know, this can be like the old saying, not for long, because they don't have much patience.
As you two are professional athletes, I mean, what do you guys look for? I mean, as a professional, you're not really looking to, you know, be motivated like a kid, though. But what do you look for in a great coach? When you see a coach, you say, I want to emulate that. Like, Bobby, you said you had, you know, growing up. What are some of those characteristics of a really good coach for a professional athlete?
Yeah, and that's a great question, too, Gary. I think the first thing, and I learned this from Ruben Amaro. Pinky, you remember Ruben, I'm sure. Well,
yes.
And one thing Ruben gave me, and John Vukovic as well, was that they would watch and see what you do when you're doing it well. And then they could communicate that to you equally well as they could when they saw things that you would do when you weren't doing it so well. For example, Ruben and John both coached first base at times. And being a right-handed hitter, you know, they were facing me at the plate. They could see me frontally. And so one thing Ruben brought up to me one time, he said, hey, you must be getting a little tired. Your upper half starting to lean, you know, you're starting to kind of tilt forward in your stance instead of staying up a little stronger position. So that little note of coaching, just giving sort of a video, a live verbal video of what he saw, and then I would translate to my brain. I'd say, okay, I got to straighten up a little bit. And then, you know, things started to click again, because it wasn't always about your swings off. Or what it can be, two simple things like, you know, make sure you're seeing the ball well, and then make sure your posture's good. Because for some reason, you must have been doing it well enough to get here in the first place. So let's get back to what you were doing when you were doing it well. So that type of coaching for me was important. I would tell kids what I see. Here's what I see when you're doing it well. Here's what I see when maybe you're struggling a little bit. And mostly I handle the outfield defense and base running, but I wasn't afraid, you know, to drop my two bits in every now and then on a young hitter, maybe with a similar style of game as mine. I, you know, remind right. him little things like that. But just being back then, Piggy, you can hit on this, but we didn't have a lot of video. We had some because of WGN. It was just kind of starting to happen.
Yeah, we went on feel. And it's much different today. You can be more of a student today. You can look up pitchers past. You can look up all your at-bats in a row or in a game. It's highly technical. I think it's great information. I just hope that these guys don't get paralyzed by viewing it too much, because the mental aspect of the game runs your physical aspect. And if you're not there mentally, you're not going to be able to perform. So you got to keep those cobwebs out. You got to try not to play too much into your brain when you're going south, because all it's going to do is make it worse. So it's a combination we all have to deal with when we do have them. But inevitably, we have those stints maybe three or four times a year where we got to dig ourselves out again.
No doubt. That reminds me of Harry Carey. I was going through like an 0-for-12 or 13 stretch in Montreal. We were, I think, on a Saturday night. We were all heading for the elevator, and he hollered at me, hey, Bobby, come here. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, some restaurateur in Montreal. Probably Harry ain't free there all the time. And then he just dropped this on me. He says, you know what I love about you, Bobby? I said, what, Harry? He said, even when you stink, you look like you're trying. You'll never get booed at home. And it was kind of a backhanded compliment coming from Harry. And that was, you know, that if you're going to pop it up or hit a ground ball back to the pitcher, at least give me an effort, run it out. And inevitably, you know, those streaks happen here. And then the next, you know, I don't know, I was 6 for the next 12 or something, and you're healed again. But hitting's a bit of a bad girlfriend, Pinky. You know, it kind of shows up when it feels like it.
Yeah, it does.
Defense and base running, though, you count on like a good wife. So I always brought that to the ballpark and crossed my fingers with hitting.
Yeah, well, Harry probably drank free, too, and that's when he probably started handing out those backhanded compliments. But I was interested in what you had to say about the music. You know, for quite some time, you know, we would take batting practice to, you know, a still stadium. There was nothing in there. So finally we made a request. You know, can we add some music while we're taking batting practice, liven this up a little bit, just to give us, you know, something to, you know, there's no timing, rhythm, nothing. So then they started taking requests for music. Say, hey, what do you guys want to hear while you're taking batting practice? And I thought that was really a cool idea that the guys had. You know, let's liven it up a little bit. Let's make this fun. And so, you know, you got guys out there that, you know, maybe shagging or taking ground balls, and now you hear a tune that livens you up, and now you get a little energy, and you start moving around and jumping around and dancing and throwing some moves in there. And
what's the song that would get Ron say hype? What would hype you up?
Oh, God, I can't even remember at this point in time, but, you know, Bon Jovi, you know, a lot of Bon Jovi would lighten me up a bit, but I just felt that you know, there was way too much old school going on, you know, and we hadn't turned the corner. And as an example, you know, guarding the lines defensively late in the game, we did that without even just thinking about the situation. This is what we did. So we got away from that. We didn't need to guard the third base line when Willie Stargell's coming up. Okay, move him over into the hole. And the same thing with Dave Kingman when you're going to move the first baseman over. So, you know, a lot of old school, you know, but there's still a lot of old school that works today, you know. And I'm going to ask you questions about how you like the new game that we're playing today in Major League Baseball. And we're going to be closing this segment down here in a second. Got another commercial break to take. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us and your input. We'll be back right after this.
School on! Save on!
Back to school is on, and Staples has great prices on everything you need for your best year yet. Save on headphones and laptops. Save on notebooks, pens, and all the essentials. Priced low and still in stock. And right now at Staples, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each. Plus, select notebooks are just 35 cents each. School on, save on at Staples, where school savings are always in session. Ends 9/16, in-store only, limit 30.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. It's back to school season, and teachers, parents, and students from kindergarten to college can find everything they need to succeed at Office Depot Office Max. With savings up to 60% on the company's best-selling school supplies through September 16th. And must-haves like Crayola products, spiral notebooks, composition books, and glue starting at just 50 cents, Office Depot Office Max is ready to kick the new school year into gear. Shoppers can get even more discounts and earn rewards towards future purchases with a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards membership. Need your school supplies fast? Customers can take advantage of the company's free 20-minute in-store pickup or opt for same-day delivery for qualifying orders. Office Depot and Office Max stores are supporting hundreds of Title I public schools across the country with an in-store donation program. Make a donation at checkout to help a local school in your community get new supplies to create a more productive learning environment. Visit officedepot.com/backtoschool.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number smart bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
Steve Carlton going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Grand slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And welcome back, folks. This week in Dodger history, going back all the way to 1959, Sandy Koufax fans 18 batters to establish a new National League record for a nine-inning game at that point in the Dodgers' 5-2 win over the vile and hated San Francisco Giants at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. Mr. Koufax's performance equals the Major League mark established in 1938 by Indians fireballer Bob Feller during a 4-loss one to Detroit.
And here we are back with Bobby Dernier and another segment. We'll see about that. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And I would like to pick your brain a little bit about how you like the new game of baseball we're playing in the major leagues. In particular, the pitch clock, the larger bases, the extra inning with the runner at second base, bullpen games, etc. Start where you want and we'll just throw it around.
Well, I'll start with, I was up in Philly a couple weekends ago at alumni weekend, and I one inning Saturday's game, we me and Von Hayes and Steve Jeltz ran out to change the bases in the third inning. And okay. So I got a full dose of that pizza box, they like to call it,
right?
That now are the bases, you know, the I don't know how many inches, they're 2 or 3 inches bigger, I guess.
Yeah.
And one thing that was sacred, and what I remember, and you mentioned old school before the break, and I always told the players coaching, you know, there's no such thing as old school and new school. Let's get this straight. There's winning school and there's losing school. And winning never gets old. So there's some things that, you know, that today they do, that we did, that people did, you know, guys that played before us did, that helped teams win. And so I try to emphasize those things. And as far as the bases go, and, you know, being a base stealer, you know, it was sacred, 90 feet, right?
Yeah.
And so now you wear an oven mitt and, you know, to slide into the base. I never broke or messed up a finger, and I went head first 600 or 700 times, I think. And I always had my fingers above the base. And but anyway, they wear the mitts, and then the bases are longer. So now we're talking 89 feet, 6 inches. Am I about right?
The so, game of inches.
Yeah, and that in that respect, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I felt like 60 feet, 6 inches. I know they've tweaked that over the years a little bit, the mound height. But 90 feet was never messed with. And so that part I don't like. I'll admit it. But as far as the clock, if that's what they need, all I know is I was always ready before the pitcher.
Of course.
So I'm waiting on you.
Yeah.
And so I felt like you're the delay game, not me, as a hitter. And I do quickly in between pitches, you know, a little glove adjustment, get back and get my, you know, get myself ready. And I think, you know, so in that regard, I think if that forces players to speed up their routine a little bit, let's move the game. I like it. I like the pace of the game, you know, like any other fan, if I'm watching, I like it to move. But you know, the I guess the irritating part, if there's another one in regards to pitching, you know, we face a starter, maybe 3-4, maybe even 5 at bats, a lot. And that is now a thing of the past. Now you got, you know, you're facing 3-4 guys, maybe every game. And so, you know, and but I do try to give him credit too, Pingy. I mean, I don't know about you, but still 95 plus is still 95 plus, and it's not easy to hit. And if that's what you're facing all the time, then, you know, granted, through repetition, you know, we catch up as hitters. But we saw plenty of 95-plus in our years playing. And so But I think today it's a little more, that's what they've fallen in love with. They don't let guys stretch it out, maybe pitch their way through 7, 8, 9 innings. Then as soon as there's a hint that the analytics are against them after two, now they're your third round of the batting order, they don't even give them a chance.
No.
And so in that regard, I think it's a little, I don't know, it's a little trying for me patience-wise in that regard. I always liked the idea of having those dominant pitchers that went out there and you couldn't take the ball from them.
Right.
And we played with plenty of them, and I always admired that. There's still some. On the defensive end, I'm going to give them a quick nod of approval. They make plays. I love watching the athleticism out there when it's out there, and I see a lot of them, trying to make plays. So I like that. But I guess as older players, we're always going to find something we like to pick about, right?
Well, for sure. I am definitely for the pitch clock. It helps the focus and the intensity, I think, in terms of not getting too far out of sync. And we used to take pride in our pitchers working quickly so that we could be focused a great percentage of the time. The bases, it simply invited old school baseball back into play as far as I'm concerned, because there was a time where they were getting away from base running because they didn't want to have guys getting thrown out and they wanted to launch the three-run homers. It's a strikeout home run game, and this year you can definitely see that base stealing has been invited back, and I think Acuna Jr. is got 55 or 60 stolen bases at this point. Maybe he'll get to 70. But there are a group of people that are now stealing more bases, and I think that I like that because it you're trying to create some action instead of letting the defense sit over there and get comfortable with no movement whatsoever. And when you start
pitchers as well, they get comfortable.
Exactly.
Not worried about it.
You know, the old slide step is pretty much gone. The bullpen games are nothing more than glamorized exhibition games to me. These games still count, and I don't like it. I don't like it. And the other thing I don't like is the extra innings. I don't like the guy starting at second base. I want you to earn that run. We played 9 innings to earn this victory, and now you're giving them an easy way out just because you want to speed up the game.
Yeah, they want the game to end. I mean, let's face it, and they don't want to be patient enough. They don't want to be out there for 18 innings. I understand that, that impatience, but, yeah, that was a bridge too far for me as well. You're making up stuff that, and is it a legitimate RBI run? Is it a legitimate run scored? Kind of, not really.
Well, when you get a guy out there and a guy makes a good pitch, say he's got 2 outs, and now a guy hits a broken bat flare over the first baseman's head, it's over.
And some of the most exciting games I've ever seen in my entire life have been those extra inning games, those 18-inning, 19-inning, because those are rare to begin with. And it's you want to finish that game. You want to see the completion. It's a very exciting thing.
Yeah, well, the only problem is that baseball has something else in mind. They want to protect their players. They don't want to have guys pitching more than they do. These other guys that might be used in those extra innings are now probably not going to pitch the next day. And it is all about pitching, and they try to manage it as well as they do. But I'm not so sure that, change is inevitable. You have to look like you're doing something, but some of these rules I could do without.
The biggest change for me, though, is the celebration method.
Yeah, right. Throwing the bats. How long do you think somebody would have taken before Bob Gibson was going to take you down?
I mean, really, you have to memorize like 25 different routines. I don't know if I could have done it.
No, I could have. I wish we would have celebrated a little bit more. We saved our time for the clubhouse or when we were coming off the field. It's a game of entertainment today. When you look at the All-Star game and these guys are getting mic'd up while the game's playing, how serious is the game? What if a guy is in between addressing the announcer and a guy hits a bullet right at him? Huh? What are you going to do? Oh, my God, I got to get out of the way. I don't know. I just you look at football. They got a flag football game now for their Pro Bowl. Basketball is a joke. It's 190 to 187, and nobody plays any defense. But if this is what you want, then definitely entertainment is what you're going to get. But it's not a competitive game anymore, the way I see it.
A little, well, the media, the entertainment value, I get it. You know, because I'm still I'm a sports fan in my 10-year-old heart. That's never changed.
Right.
And I suppose it always will. No matter what I look at, I'm looking at it both as a fan and as a critic and as an alumni, if you will, from watching baseball. So I have a different eye on baseball maybe than I do other sports. But just the whole idea generationally, how they've kind of let go of the leash and they can, you know, they can pretty much do whatever they want celebration wise. Well, you know, if we'd have been presented with that opportunity, I think we had plenty of imaginations that we could have created, you know, some pretty good stuff. I don't know about bat flips and stuff. You know, you hit hundreds of home runs. So, you know, you'd have been more creative than me. I only hit 24 lifetimes. So I could have created 24 different, you know, different things. But that part of it I do like, that they're more, that they show their emotion a little bit, that especially, let's face it, a lot of this came about because of winter ball in Latin America. They've been doing that for generations.
Yeah.
And more so than here, and I think now that's kind of come full circle. And you know, you know, I think the fans, as long as they approve of it and enjoy it,
yeah,
you know, I don't pick on them too much there. But like you said, a guy out there with the baseball who's getting embarrassed a little bit, you know, he might get a little unnerved if you get too happy.
And occasionally, you see it. You see these guys getting a little. I've had enough of that, and that's your celebration. Let's talk a little bit about the Phillies and the Cubs. Give me your assessment. The Cubs have turned out to have had a really good year. They're in contention, and the Phillies have come back a long way since the first half.
Yeah, and I've got a dose of both of them. I've been up to Chicago several times this summer, and watch on TV, of course, and saw Philly. A couple weekends ago, pardon me. I think LA. You know, obviously the Braves in LA are the cream of the crop, but teams like Philly and the Cubs, they both play the game right. They have, you know, a pretty good flow through the lineup. They're pitching pretty well I think the key there is they're both playing good defense. So we both know that if you're pitching and your defense isn't very good, then you're not going to have a happy pitching, you know, staff. So I like them, but, you know, there's a month to go.
Yeah, and Trey Turner seems to have picked it up, and Cody Bellinger has had another breakout for him. He's had 2-3 years now where he's really, really struggled, and it seems like Chicago's a good fit for him.
Big difference Bellinger's made in that lineup.
Yeah.
And along with Dansby, of course, when they brought him up from Atlanta. You know, they're winning type players. And, you know, coming to Chicago to bring that kind of back circle, you know, when you came over from the Dodgers, a lot of us from Philly or, you know, we expected to win. It wasn't any new philosophy that was going on out there. You looked around, you said, well, I'm playing with guys who are used to winning. So I think Belly looked around and Dansby as well. And the compliment they have around him there, Warner, winning type player, and several others. I mean, they've got good balance in that lineup offensively. And the Phillies, I mean, they just bring one guy after another.
Right.
That's a dangerous lineup.
No, it sure is.
Last year.
And isn't the Steele kid with the Chicago, he's 15-3?
That lefty, yeah. Yeah, Steele's he's the real deal. And when you talk about moving the game, this kid can't wait to throw the next pitch. He's on you. You know, he's on you from pitch one, and every pitch has its own personality. He has four different pitches, but they might go eight different ways in speeds. He really keeps you off balance, and so that's no accident.
Yeah. All right. We're going to be back with Bobby Dernier for our last segment, and we've got some other things to talk about. I want to talk about your golf game. We'll return right after this.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone. And AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them. And it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we are back with our final segment today. We'll see about that. My special guest, Bobby Dernier, is a prolific golfer. And before you leave, I want you to tell me what your handicap is, how many holes in ones you've had, and how great a player you are.
Well, let's start with I'm a 10, okay? So I'm not a really good player, but I'm a pretty good partner. You want me on your team. I'm a little streaky, and sometimes – you know, the good streaks happen, and I've been lucky enough. I just made my 5th hole in one last week, and it started back in 82. Short story, in St. Louis as a Philly, and Manny Trio set this up. We weren't supposed to play golf on game day, so we go play. I make my first hole in one. 2 days later at Busch, Pat Corrales calls me in the office. He was our manager, and he said, "Hey, did you play golf yesterday?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I did." He said, "Well, yeah, the whole city knows you did, and that's going to cost you $200. So I went out for batting practice, and Sparky Lyle and Tug McGraw had a golf flag, and they're saying, "Hit it here, hit it here." So I took a lot of grief, and he ended up rescinding the fine.
No, that's funny. That's a great story. Pat Corrales, of course, just passed away here. So, condolences to his family. I've known Pat for a long time, just like everybody else. He was a lifer. Bobby, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Terrific job. Continued success and good luck. And hi to the family and wish you well.
Thanks, Peggy. Good talking with you.
All right. Bobby Dernier. All right. We have one more announcement, I think, for those people who are interested in helping out with the people in Maui. And Mike is going to give you that information before we close down.
Absolutely. Make sure to visit the redcross.org. That's redcross.org, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767, 800-733-2767. Or you can text the word Red Cross to 90999. That's 90999 to make a $10 donation.
And thank you for that. And we are going to be having a very, very interesting guest next week, Dr. Stephen Foreman, who has been at the City of Hope for years. I'm looking very forward to having a conversation about what's going on in the City of Hope. You know, they've helped out many people, and they've also helped out many Dodgers of the past. So I'm interested in teaming up with Dr. Stephen Foreman again. And I just want to thank you all for joining us this week. I want you all to have a great weekend, and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.